Thanks very much, Mike. I've got the easy part here. Some of the shortest books of the Bible, and but nonetheless still containing some great stuff. Let me just make a few general comments, though, because John is writing real letters. We're not just talking about somebody inventing something. They're real letters to real people in real situations. And throughout John, you can see him using the phrase, I am writing. And a lot of this, although part of it is warnings, a lot of it is encouragement to us. Mike, the verses you said you remembered from years ago were encouragement. But in chapter 2, it says, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. In chapter 5 it says, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So there's a lot of real encouragement in the first letter of John. And 2 and 3 are getting a bit more personal, in the sense that he's trying to focus on some characters that need encouragement in some ways and warning in others. So he's writing to real people, roughly AD 90, who live somewhere in Asia Minor, we believe. And it's really a pastoral heart going out to these people, a leader who wants to share something about their well-being and to encourage them and move them on. So we start off with the second letter. It says, the elder to the elect lady and her children. We haven't got a clue who it's written to. We're not even convinced, or some people aren't convinced, that it was a real lady, because at this time the church was under persecution from the Roman Empire, and it is possible that where he refers to the lady, it's simply to disguise someone's identity and keep this person safe. But it could also be referring to the church or community. But he emphasizes two things, truth and love. And we cannot separate them. They stick together. Dare I say, because I've never heard this song for years and years, but like a horse and carriage, some of the well ancient people will remember that. But truth and love just hang together. You can't separate them. He's getting this across to the people. But in verse 7, he goes on to this idea of the many deceivers, the Antichrist, as he also uses that phrase. And he's really turning round and warning them that there are people who will try and tell them that Jesus, and Mike said this very clearly, cannot be God and a human being at the same time. You cannot be both. And so he's sort of saying to this person, the lady or the church, yeah, here's a practical message for you. There are many deceivers about. And what he says to this one, when you've got to consider that there are a lot of pastors, or should I say vicars or teachers or whatever, who roamed about. They were sort of freelance, journeying around. And they relied on the local hospitality. Apparently, I've never been to and stayed in an inn, but apparently they weren't the places to stay, because things went on in them that wasn't right for a Christian to be part of. So they relied totally on the local congregation to give them hospitality. And it's a great thing to do today as well. But he turns around to this lady and says, I'm warning you, because don't receive these false teachers into your home. Don't welcome them. Which sounds a bit strange in some ways, but then if they're teaching a wrong message, he's saying don't welcome them, because it gives the impression that you are supporting them, you're supporting the work they're doing. So there's a bit of practical message in there. But right at the end, he turns around, although I've much to write to you. I'd rather not use paper and ink. I'd rather not use text or the internet or anything like that. But I want to come and talk to you face to face. And getting back to this whole idea that, you know, pastors want to be with their people, and encouraging that, you know, it's a basic human need to get together and talk together. I'm sure we've all experienced it during the last couple of years, how we really missed out on this face-to-face contact, this getting together. So here's John saying, although I'm writing this to you, I really, as your pastor, want to be with you. So we're going to the third letter, and it's very similar in the way it's written. It's John again sort of saying, look, I want the best for you, the best in your life. But he mentions some people by name. Gaius, who he turns around and says, I'm overjoyed to hear the testimony about your faithfulness to the truth. So they're holding on to the truth. He hasn't been led astray yet. But then he says, yeah, it's brilliant hearing this news, how you've supported and welcomed travelling preachers. And so it's the opposite to what we heard in 2 John, but here again he's saying that, yeah, the true preachers you welcome in. You don't mix in with these false preachers that are going around. He then mentions in verse 9, his character, I'll try and pronounce it, Diotrephes, and he mentions him and condemns him, basically. So he's been sort of buttering up two people and sort of saying how great they are. Suddenly he turns around and condemns him for many things, for his arrogance, his pride, for not being accountable to others, for gossiping, for being heavy-handed in the church. And boy, yeah, sort of that pulls out loads of things that you could ask questions about people in the church today and how some churches are led. But he suggests very clearly in verse 11 that they are not from God. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. So it's very clear on this idea that, you know, you can actually work out who is a Christian, who isn't, who is sort of following God's commands and who isn't. And so it's a real condemnation, this, but the test is how we live our lives. And then he goes on to Demetrius, and he commends him for being full of truth of God, and then goes back to this whole idea of, yeah, brothers and sisters, I want to see you face to face. Yeah, I long to be with you. Yeah, I have much to write to you again, he says. I have much to write to you, but I want to see you face to face, to talk together. And then in this one, he gives this final blessing at the end, peace to you. And makes a comment that friends send their greetings. Greet the friends there each by name. So that really is a quick run through these two letters, simply because they follow on so well from the first letter of John, and really John is just sort of pulling it together and making it a far more personal picture rather than just a sort of general thing that he gave out. Now we're now going to move